Hello, I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems. Welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast, where we examine the who, what, why, and how of the mechanical engineering industry. A virtual power plant is a network of decentralized, medium-scale power-generating units, as well as flexible power consumers and storage systems. Sound confusing? Well, in this episode, we welcome in Josh Keeling, Vice President of Advanced Projects and Strategy with Generac, who not only introduces us to VPPs, but he hypothesizes the impact they'll have on the American energy sector going forward.
So I'm Josh Keeling. I'm the Vice President of Advanced Projects and Strategy at Generac Grid Services. Generac Grid Services is a business unit within Generac, which many folks may know as a provider of backup generators. We're one of the leading providers of traditional backup generation in the country and around the world. On top of that, especially lately through a series of acquisitions and organic growth, we've made very big strides and have moved our strategic direction very much in the direction of clean energy and distributed energy technology more broadly. So that includes offering battery storage, smart thermostats through our acquisition of Ecobee, load controls, and then grid services, which is my business unit. Generac Grid Services oversees technology that ensures stability for the world's power grids using distributed energy technology. So we do this through a software platform called Concerto, which integrates, orchestrates, optimizes distributed energy resources to support wholesale markets, power grids, for a wide range of customers, including utilities, markets directly, retailers, folks like that. Also working with building owners and operators. And we increasingly work in the development and deployment of virtual power plants, which I know we're going to talk a little bit about today. My role within Grid Services is motivated in part by this sort of diversity of projects that we're talking about. And so my team oversees strategic initiatives that often span several of those business units. So the energy storage, smart thermostats, and then grid services itself, and also works on some of the more complex projects. Sort of identifying advanced solutions and finding opportunities for technology transfer, especially between geographies. So we do a lot of work in Europe, Australia, and the United States, and North America more broadly. And then sort of just like some background on me. So I'm actually pretty new to Generac. I've only spent a couple months here and have a pretty varied background. So in the past, I've held leadership roles, both in the consulting side, at software startup and also to vertically integrated utility, where I was actually a customer of Generac Grid Services. So it's kind of funny to be on the other side. But a lot of my work has been sort of the planning, development, deployment of these programs and virtual power plants.
Josh, seems like Generac's got a lot going on and you've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah. No shortage of fun stuff to work on. That's for sure.
So one of the technologies that you hinted at in your introduction there was virtual power plants. Yeah. What are they? How do they work? And what are the key benefits or advantages they offer?
Yeah. So this has been really an evolving space over the last few years, but at its most fundamental, a virtual power plant is a network of like small power generation, energy storage, flexible loads that collectively and aggregate provide power or services to the power grid in times of high demand or system need. In the case of power generation and storage devices, those devices normally will operate doing whatever they were originally intended for. So providing backup resources, powering the home, doing rate management for, especially in the commercial building space. But now, when they aren't being used for that, they can also be used in these aggregate ways to help provide stability to the grid. A great example of that is very, very timely is what we're seeing happen in California, where there are very constrained peak periods during extreme weather, and aggregate resources, whether that's just changes in customer behavior, but increasingly behind the meter energy storage, load control, smart thermostats in particular, are helping to provide relief to the grid in new ways. The benefit there to the homeowners or the building owners and operators that they get in financial incentives, either through their utility, a service provider, and then all utility customers benefit from lower power costs, more reliable power. And often these resources are decarbonized technologies, so lower carbon overall.
So it's been really interesting. There's also, you know, when we look at the building space, increasingly we're seeing these VPPs and the technologies that enable them helping those building owners in things like LEED certification, where you see the Grid Optimal initiative through LEED, where flexible technologies are also helping to provide certification credits for those larger buildings.
So they're called virtual power plants, but we're actually speaking about real property here, right? We're not talking about virtual reality, something that exists in another realm.
That's right. Yeah, when we say virtual power plants, what we mean is that we've taken a lot of small things that normally wouldn't show up to a grid operator or an energy market and aggregated them in a way. And this is where Concerto and Grid Services plays a role, is put those together into a large component that looks like a power plant, so that the operators of the grid and the energy markets don't have to really change what they're doing. They can take that aggregate resource and use it just like they would a gas plant or a large battery on the grid. But these are real resources. Like you said, this is, you know, technology that's in the ground, often that's already there or that's actually being put in place as a part of these programs. So we're talking energy storage, inverters, a lot of load controls, a lot of HVAC controls. So things that you see in a lot of these buildings already, increasingly with connected devices, but now finding new value streams for them.
So much like variable refrigerant flow units, America seems to be behind when it comes to technologies. And I bring that up because Europe seems to be well ahead of the curve when it comes to virtual power plants. So can you tell us a little bit about where Europe's at and maybe speak to one or two examples of how effective that technology has been overseas?
Yeah, sure. And I think you're right in some senses. I mean, it depends on how we sort of think about it. Europe has definitely made some really great progress, particularly in market integration. I think that's been the big thing. Some of that has to do with how Europe is structured, and some of it has to do with sort of the players in the space. You're absolutely right. So for instance, Generac Grid Services has some pretty big projects in Europe. Most notably, in 2021, we helped RWE, who is one of the largest utilities in Europe, in Germany, deploy a VPP solution that covers Western Germany, which is like Dortmund, Cologne, Frankfurt, Stuttgart, Augsburg. And that involved large commercial industrial customers that integrated their DERs into this large power plant, tens of megawatts in that program. And that participates directly in the market. There, in particular, what you see, as opposed to the United States, where virtual power plants have been relatively simplistic in the past, sort of emergency capacity type things, we're seeing, you know, participation in fast frequency response. So for the non-energy grid geeks on the line, that's, you know, sub like second level controls of some of those loads. And that's very advanced. And that's where I think Europe has really made some pretty big strides. So that's been really interesting. And we're sort of expanding that with RWE. We have a couple other clients I can't really speak to. A lot of this is sort of confidential as we're in markets, but I will say, particularly in the UK and down into continental Europe, you're seeing projects sort of sprout up everywhere, especially with the coal retirements and also, of course, gas volatility that's getting really intense lately.
So, of course, these DERs can't just exist. They need brains. They need navigation. Yeah. They need controls. Yeah. So can you introduce us to the Concerto DER and share what makes that unit specifically so effective?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what we've really benefited from is, I think we were a little ahead. We were a little too future looking early on. And now the world has sort of caught up to us and we're benefiting from that, which is, you know, when we developed Concerto, we really took a technology agnostic approach. So saying, if you want to go into any market and find, you know, take what's there and make the most of it, how would you do that? So the Concerto platform is very flexible in terms of the types of resources that we can pull in, virtually an unlimited variety of those, a pretty wide use of open standards, but also proprietary standards where required, and bringing those together in a way that's virtualized and simple enough that the grid operator doesn't have to change what they're doing. They can sort of keep their as-built business processes and just utilize these new resources in a new way. So that really takes that guesswork out of grid operations using, you know, a variety of, you know, advanced machine learning algorithms to sort of adapt to grid conditions. And that's really critical because grid operators, energy market traders, they have a very hard job already. It's getting harder every day. We don't want to make it harder for them. And then on the building side, you really need to meet those customers where they are, because, you know, as a building operator, your job is also very hard already and getting more complex every day. So making sure that you can sort of come to them with what the technology that they have today, the folks that they trust, and just help to create value quickly has been really important. So that, you know, Concerto, unlike a lot of other solutions, is not built around a single technology or a single type of technology. It's, you know, you see a lot of, we just operate with batteries, we just operate with thermostats, HVAC or CNI, but we're sort of hitting the whole range of resources. So you're seeing electric water heaters, residential batteries, commercial storage, HVAC controls, huge industrial loads. And then of course, backup generators as sort of Generac's core business, but then increasingly, you know, in the more complex spaces, we look at like electric vehicles and things like that as well.
Josh, America continues to push toward electrification and decarbonization as evidenced through the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act. Yeah. VPPs will be a crucial part of that, I'm sure. Can you speak to some of the lessons that American utilities or energy providers can learn from some of the case studies that have been completed overseas?
Yeah, I mean, I will say I think there's a lot to be learned on both sides. I think we're there's a lot of exchange overseas, but yeah, I think in particular, as we talked about a little bit earlier, Europe has done a great job at sort of thoughtfully creating these models for distributed resources that provide flexibility into wholesale markets. Some of that has to do with how they're structured, but I also think there's been some really good proactive work to make that happen. So a good example of that would be, say, what's called the Open Networks Initiative in the UK, where they developed this very collaborative process, bringing in the retailers, the network operators, the service providers, the technology companies, the regulators, and the large customers and consumer advocates to sort of work together to get through both the technical requirements and the regulatory requirements, which almost sometimes are harder than the technical stuff, to figure out a way to open up these markets. And so I think that that sort of approach is really exciting. I know folks in the US, like the Energy Systems Integration Group and others, have started to look at how we can replicate that in the United States and sort of think about how to consistently open up those markets. I think that's really exciting. You know, we're doing a lot of work, but there is just so much more scale that we could realize, and so much more value that you know, building owners and operators and the energy markets and energy customers overall could really reap from this. So that's, I think, is really exciting.
I'm going to ask you to morph into your alter ego, Josh Stradamus, here and take a look at what does America's distributed energy future look like? What can we expect in, say, 10 or 25 years?
I mean, it's just you're not even going to recognize it, to totally be honest. It's interesting. I mean, our poles and wires will exist, but how we operate that and how it's a part of our lives is really going to dramatically change. From like a sort of inside baseball perspective, the grid and how it operates is going to kind of invert. So we'll be moving from this paradigm of shifting generation to meet demand in real time to one where we have demand and generation both sort of oscillating to meet each other, you know, at a highly distributed way across the grid. And that's driven by a lot of factors: electrification, decarbonization of the electricity sector, but also all of this flexibility and these new resources that are just sort of organically we're finding on the grid. So we'll also see a grid where a lot more of that balancing is happening in a more localized fashion. So whether that's at the site or it's at the substation, the model today, most of that balancing is happening, you know, at the wholesale level, high voltage systems. But we're gonna see a lot more of that getting pushed down. You're already starting to see that to some degree. That, not to pick on California, but where we see, you know, transmission becoming constrained, it makes a lot more sense to start building grids that can handle, you know, segmenting themselves and balancing locally more and more. The other thing that like we can't underestimate is that decarbonization is going to radically change our end use mix. That is like we are going to see peaking conditions on the grid where happening in winter and summer, which is really new for some folks around the country. And we're going to see a lot more DC electronics in the system, you know, whether that's inverters, you know, in solar, but also in storage, in vehicles, and a lot of inverter driven heat pumps, like you're talking about VRFs earlier. We're going to see a lot more of that. Done well, that's a tremendous opportunity to create a more resilient grid, can give us a wide array of resources at our disposal. Folks like me are really excited about having all of that controllability. You know, we could potentially have really great power quality, but we have to do it right. So making sure that we're utilizing that storage, controllability, intelligence at every level of the network in a more sophisticated way is going to be really critical. The other thing that I'd like to stress is that not only is electricity overall going to become more complex, but it's going to become more central to our lives, which is hard to imagine. Electricity is already such a critical, I mean, here we are talking electronically today, but we are only now beginning to understand the ramifications of electrification of the building and transportation. This isn't just like a switching of fuels. It's this enormous shift in how our economy operates, which creates some really exciting opportunities. I mean, in the gas vehicle paradigm, few folks could imagine fueling their vehicles at their home, much less producing that fuel on site. But when we get to rooftop solar storage, electric vehicles being pervasive, as we're already seeing in some geographies, that's a reality today. And that's tremendously exciting, but creates a lot more complexity. And so obviously I'm a bit biased here, but this really requires an unprecedented level of monitoring, control, coordination. And that's what I love about being here at Generac, is that, you know, we're right at the center of that, both from a software perspective with Concerto, but also just in our broader business, you know, in energy technology, we have pretty close relationships on with building owners and operators and you know, deploying solutions and storage, smart devices overall.
Josh, thanks for all the great information. Is there anything else you want to add now that we have you on the broadcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the exciting things is that, you know, there's a lot that we can do on the technology side. I think there's a great opportunity to create value in new ways, both on the building side and the utility side, and technology. What I would really encourage folks to think about is, you know, just being curious, asking questions, reaching out when you talk to your installers, when you talk to contractors, when you're talking to different stakeholders. There's a lot more opportunities than I think we realize, and that's changing dynamically. So it's been really exciting sort of looking at how to challenge our old paradigms and think about new opportunities. And I'm really enthusiastic about it. I'm really optimistic and really excited to see what happens next. So I really appreciate getting the time to sort of talk with you and talk about this crazy new world we're getting into.
No, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you, Josh. If those who are tuning in are interested in connecting with you or Generac Grid Services, where should they turn?
Visit generacgs.com. So our website's there. If you're interested on the technology side, also generac.com has a lot of information on the more broader solutions. And always feel free to reach out.
Well, thanks again so much for sharing your time and knowledge. We'll certainly be tracking the future of virtual power plants and Generac's role in that in the near future. Thanks again, Josh. We hope to catch up again with you soon.
Thanks, Herb.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Josh Keeling. And to further network with him or Generac, visit www.generac.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Show your support for industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a much broader audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. Finally, make sure you visit Engineered Systems' website at www.esmagazine.com for the latest and greatest industry news, announcements, articles, and more. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.